Sorry, I like that bridge that we sang. Can you hear me all right? Okay, that bridge we sang on the previous song, Goodness of God, where it says, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. I love that picture of Jesus just chasing after us with his goodness, of wanting to be in relationship with us despite all the crap that we've done. Like, he's still just coming after us with his goodness. Now it may not feel like goodness when we're going through it, you know? Like, it might not feel like this is all that good, but Jesus' goodness will catch up to you, and you will be in the goodness of God. That one hit me today. Thank you, Carrie, for selecting those songs. So, we've been going through this series, Let's Get Engaged, and we've talked about what it means to be engaged. Like, we really think of it two ways. I want to go to that next slide already. It's kind of funny to think about engagement. I kind of just recap this probably every week, but engagement as relationship, because we can talk about getting engaged. Like, couples will get like heading towards marriage. They'll get engaged, and they'll say, "This is our covenant or our commitment together. We're going to carry forward on a relationship together," and that's what we want to do. We want to do that as a church family. And then engagement as activation, that we're going to be activated to move forward in mission together. Like, I've been using the car language. You put it in drive and you engage it. But I was thinking about this lawnmower. Like, if you have a lawnmower, you engage the blades. If you have a little, like a riding lawnmower, if you have a push lawnmower, you have the little bar thing, you know, that you hold back, that engages the blades. And it makes things go so that you can do the thing that you were meant to do. So it's engagement as relationship and engagement as activation. We're going to be in relationship together to move forward to do the things that God has led us to do. But here's the thing that we started with is, like, you don't have to do all the things that we're about to say to do in order to belong, all right? You already belong. We don't want you to do these things simply because you're trying to fit in or because you think you'll have a vote or whatever. Like, that's not why we're doing this thing. This is just committing to be a family together on a mission. That's basically what we're saying here. And then here's what it means to be fully engaged. So what does it mean to be fully engaged? It means we're going to love recklessly. It means we're going to give generously. We talked about those two things last week. We're going to grow vigorously is what we're going to talk about today. And then we're going to serve diligently. We're going to do these things because we're fully engaged. Does that make sense? All right. So let's just review real quick. Loving recklessly. Everything that we do must come from a standpoint of love. Love informs everything that we do. Love is the motivation for those things. Jesus said, if we're going to be known for anything, it'll be by how you love one another. All right? We should be known by this. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13:35. So love is the motivation for all the other things. So, like, you can see this little, I love these little, like, pictures and stuff that helps me think about it. If we're loving recklessly, then we're going to grow vigorously and serve diligently and give generously. If we don't have it from a motivation of love, then they just become just things that we do, things that we're doing to just try to fit in. It's not as natural. I gotta remember what's on the next slide. Okay. Well, all right. Yeah, I was thinking through these things. If we only have serving diligently and growing vigorously, and we don't have love or giving, then we just have this, like, insulated stinginess. Like, we go to church, we're going to maybe even go to a Bible study so we can learn about things, learn about God, learn about the Bible. And maybe, you know what, we'll serve, we'll do the hospitality stuff in the back, or we'll greet people or whatever, but we become insulated to the rest of things that are going on outside. What's the next one? All right? If we're just doing serving and giving, all we're doing is community service. Because we're not doing it from a point of love. We're just, serving the community is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people give a lot of money to things that are outside the church. Church is one of the actually lowest things I think they actually get money in for nonprofits and stuff like that nationwide. So a lot of people give a lot of money to different things outside the church, but it's just community service. And then what's the internal piety is this other one. If we're growing vigorously, but look how much I give. You know, like, I'm so smart in the Bible, and look at all, you know, back in, like, Mike, when was it, like, the 1700s or whatever, up in colonial times in New England, you can still go to those old churches and see the names on the pews that they literally bought, and the more they paid, the closer to the front they could get. So how much did you, just kidding. That's what they did, and it was an internal piety. But what we want to see is all of it coming together, loving recklessly. We're doing all these things, growing, serving, and giving. All right. And then we talked about giving generously last week. Giving generously, whoever sows generously will reap generously. This comes from 1 Corinthians. And then giving thoughtfully, each of you should give what you've decided in your own heart to give. You're thinking about it. It's not out of guilt. It's not out of just thinking, oh, this is what I have to do, but deciding, thinking through it. And then giving joyfully, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. All right, so those are the things that we talked about last Sunday. And we have something for you to think about giving. We talked about this too, is the Sage Yoga space that's kind of next door behind Moe's. We have this space that we could take on as part of our purview of responsibility, like Little Arrows. Our children are growing up that came through Little Arrows Play Cafe, and they kind of need a space of their own, but it's $1,000 a month, and we just don't have it. So we're having you think through this. Is this something that you want to give? If you don't give yet, maybe this is something you give towards. If you already give, maybe it increases your giving. Is that a vision that God is giving you? And also, right now, we don't have enough staff to split them out anyway. Just to be honest, we just don't have enough staff to do it. Although we're working on a plan to try to get that. So is God speaking to you to give thoughtfully to that or serve diligently in that area? All right. We're going to move on, but let's see. So the fully engaged person will love recklessly, grow vigorously, serve diligently, and give generously. We're going to move on today to this one, grow vigorously, up on the right-hand side. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." It's Matthew 28:19-20a. Now this is, I was going to say, this is not a new scripture. None of the scriptures are new. They're all really old, right? But this one's not like new in terms of using them for a, hey, jump into a small group sermon. All right, I've been using this thing for like a growing type message or encouragement since 2004, probably, when I first heard of the purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church, Rick Warren. Remember those days? I've been around the church for a little while. This is the Great Commission. This is Jesus at the end of his time. He's giving the disciples, go back one more, giving the disciples to his last instructions. He's like, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing, like, do for other people what I've done for you. Go and do this same thing over and over and over again. But we have created a debate on these scriptures, on key words. Some churches get hung up on the word baptizing. You know, and so in their baptismal theology, they start saying, well, you got to be baptized at this age, in this place, in this way. Okay, so baptism becomes a very important thing for that tradition. Some traditions emphasize the word go. So they have support missionaries all over the world. They send missionaries out So they want to go and do these things. I have gotten hung up on the word teaching. I love to teach. My whole family's a teacher. Sometimes I think I missed my call on that. But I tend to live out my call by teaching. I'm not much of a preacher. I'm more of a teacher. And then disciples is another word. Like, man, I just want to disciple people, which is a lot of teaching involved in that. I tend to get hung up on that. But lately, I've been thinking about the word make. Really, go and make are the two verbs in there, right? Go and make what? Disciples. Go and make. Jesus didn't speak these words specifically to me, and he didn't speak them only for the consumption of the disciples. Go and make is for everybody. It's for all of us. Go and make. And so Jesus is telling all of his followers, do for others what I've done for you. I've made you into disciples, now go make more disciples. I saw a meme by one of those Jesus-y accounts that I follow, you know. Like it said, I don't remember it exactly, and I couldn't find it. I went back and looked, I couldn't find it. Something like, you're not a disciple unless you're making disciples. And I was like, ouch. Ooh. Yeah, that kind of hurts. You're not a disciple unless you're making disciples. Because I've helped a lot of people become disciples that I thought were on a right path of discipling or of being discipled, but maybe not carrying it on to make more disciples. Robert Mulholland has a quote that we use here for our definition of what discipleship means. It says, being transformed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. It's kind of a simple definition. Being transformed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. Let's walk through it just quickly. Being transformed. That's the first phrase of that. That means you can't do it on your own. You can't transform yourself. It means something else or someone else is transforming you. Somebody else is doing the work in you. All of the influences you allow on your life are doing the work of transforming you. Do you agree with that? So what kind of content do you scroll through on your phone? That transforms you. What kind of things do you watch on the big screen that's in your house? We used to have small screens, we have big screens. We'll turn on the big screen and all of us will be on the small screens as well. All right. All those screens are doing work of transforming us. What kind of podcasts are you listening to? That transforms you. What kind of conversations do you have with other people just around through daily life? Those things transform you. What kind of news outlets do you consume every day or weekly? Those things transform you. The question is, do these things transform you in the image of Christ? Do we put ourselves in a position where Jesus is doing the transforming, or are we letting culture do the transforming? That's the next part. In the image of Christ. Being transformed to what? To the image of Christ. Being transformed in the image of Christ. So whether you like it or not, you and I are being transformed all day, every day. We're being conformed in the image of something. That's really the whole point of society's marketing strategies. I've learned a lot just so we could advertise for Little Arrows and for Engage New York. Like, I learned a lot. Like, oh my gosh, this is how we play people's minds. This is how we get content in people's hands on their screens, in their eyeballs. Whether we like it or not, they're trying to conform us to be consumers that they want us to be. That's the point of algorithms on social media. That they'll literally want us to stay longer on their content so our eyeballs don't go elsewhere. They'll feed us and feed us the things that they think that we think we want in order to stay on that app or whatever. Now, I think that maybe is a pessimistic view of that sort of thing, but I also think it's kind of true. That's just what these things are for. But discipleship calls us to be transformed in the image of Christ. Now, those devices that we have can be used to do that purpose too. God can redeem those things. It just depends on what kind of content we're throwing at our eyeballs all the time. Discipleship calls us to be transformed in the image of who? Christ. And then the last part is vital. This is what makes it work from generation to generation to generation. Now, that is, we're being transformed in the image of Christ, not for ourselves, but for the sake of others. Now, there's a lot of people who really know the Bible really well. They know chapter and verse for everything, but they are complete jerks. They just are. I don't know why, but they've forgotten. They've forgotten the sake of others part. Somebody knows somebody. You know the name. The point of discipleship is not to know a ton of things so you can have this righteous status of look what I know about the Bible. The point of discipleship is always others-oriented to love them. Getting close to Christ isn't a secret meeting just for you to keep to yourself. There's always someone else who should benefit from it. We call this aspect of getting engaged, growing vigorously, being transformed in the image of Christ. But what's the point of growing vigorously if you never bear fruit? You got to bear fruit. Fruit always has seeds that should be planted for the sake of others. I remember, I think it was around Easter, right after Easter, I brought in a big tomato plant. Those of you who are here, remember that? It was a great big one. I planted that thing, and it had three tomatoes within like 3 weeks that were just, actually, they weren't very good. They were like apples. I mean, they were so hard. And then that thing just kept growing. It was huge. And now I was telling Bethany this, and I think I told my parents this too, like, I have a really great garden from April through mid-July. I'll put it up against any garden in the county. It looks pretty. It's a beautiful garden. And then I just kind of get sick of it. It's too hot out. Probably have to water it some. I'm not going to water that thing. I'll mulch it so the water will stay in. But it gets a little weedy. And then the tomatoes are huge, most of them. Most years they're huge. This year, about 3/4 of them just died early. So the only tomatoes I really got were off of that great big one. But I got to thinking about it. What's the point of the most beautiful garden in Licking County if it bears no fruit? Who cares? Mike, I went over to Mike's house to get tomatoes this year. His garden was terrible. There's weeds everywhere. Sorry, Mike, I'm telling on you. But there are weeds everywhere. But this is where I got the idea. What's the point of a beautiful garden with no fruit when you can have... The point is fruit, right? And Mike had fruit. I mean, he had zucchini and cucumbers all laying all over. He could take whatever you want. I can't deal with all this fruit. Meanwhile, I have a beautiful garden that's got nothing. Growing vigorously always needs to bear fruit. Always bears fruit. Seeds that can be invested in the lives of others. Do you hear that? Your garden can be an absolute mess. We've all got messes. But as long as it's bearing fruit, we can start to weed. We can start to clean out. Having a pristine, beautiful life that bears no fruit, what's the point? Get in there, dive in, dig deep, cultivate, bear some fruit. All right, I went way off topic here. Abby, what slide number am I at? Huh? 19? Oh, okay, 20. Let's go to 20. So a fully engaged person who's growing vigorously is going to do these couple of things. The first thing, intentionally places themselves in a position where God can do transforming work. All right, because you can't do it on your own. So you place yourself in the positions where transforming work can happen. Man, if scrolling your phone is a place where transforming work can't happen, then probably putting your phone away is a good idea. Or put some apps on it that helps you be disciplined about it. Try as we might, we'll never grow in a single way. We'll never bear any fruit on your own. We just can't do it. But what we can do is put ourselves in a position where we can grow. You can prepare the soil. You can put yourself in the right environment. You can water it. You can put sun on it. You can shade it. Whatever you need to do to have the right environment where God can do the growth. So a fully engaged person is going to place themselves in a position where growth can occur. Because our eyes and our ears are constantly inundated with content that the world would have us conform to the image of the world. But God is saying to us, be transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. Do what we can do to be in the spaces and places where God can do God's work. Now, Sunday morning is a part of that, but it's only a part of that. How many hours are there in a week? I should have done that math. 172 or something. I don't know how many hours there are a week. 24 times 7. What is it? But then we're here like an hour and 15 minutes. That means there's a lot more time that can be had to influence you and stir you up to something else. All right, here's another thing. A fully engaged person who is growing vigorously commits to daily habits of devotions, rhythms of work and rest, and regular gathering with other believers for discipleship. Now, we talked about daily habits and habits of discipleship back in our spring series right after Easter. That's why I brought that plant in here, I think. In a few minutes, I'm going to give you some practical ways. You have them on your tables, and there's a link online if you're watching online. The point is, we're committing to do practices where spiritual growth can occur. We're going to put ourselves in a position where God can work us. And that means putting some habits together. That's not always in isolation, but it's not always in community either. There's some things we do on our own. There's some things we do with others. We've got resources for you to position yourself for growth through Engage New York Church, but Engage New York Church doesn't have the only content. You know, like there's lots of churches that have lots of really great things. Go explore what works for you. We just want you to grow. All right, here's another one. A fully engaged person who's growing vigorously discovers and develops their gifts for service. Remember, all growth is for the sake of others. It's not just for me. It's not just for you individually. It's so that others can grow. It's so we can serve and we can be out there with other people. Part of our growth is figuring out how we're wired. What am I meant to do? It takes a lot of self-reflection, takes a lot of trying different things. But God has uniquely gifted you to impact the kingdom in one way or another. So why not develop that thing that God has wired you to do? I was on a retreat this last week down in Alabama, and they said something that was curious to me. They said, God had a problem in mind when he created you. Now, what they're saying is, like, I thought was like, yeah, I have lots of problems. But what he meant was, there's a problem that he created you to solve. It's uniquely fit for you. He's designed you to go and solve that problem. Rick Warren uses the shape profile, like your spiritual gifts, what's your heart, your abilities, your personalities, the experiences you've had. All of those things have shaped you to go and develop those gifts, to go be a part of whatever it is. And this thing that I've been a part of is called Kingdom Dreams Initiatives that I was part of last week. And ongoing, it's all about unlocking dreams within people's hearts to make a difference in others' lives and in the community. We're going to talk more about that over the next few months. All right, here's, I think we got two more. Fully engaged person who grows vigorously is on a lifelong journey of learning that inspires action. It's a lifelong journey. Now, here's the thing. I intend to grow old with you. Okay? Now, some of you are like, you're already old. But some of you are like, you're just a whippersnapper. Okay? I've been thinking about this. I'm 43. If God blesses me, I'm halfway done. 86, right? I know what I've done for 43 years. I have no clue what's ahead. I know that for the last 43 years, I've been on this journey that's led me to this point. But what am I doing to prepare myself for the next 43 years that I hopefully God will bless me to be on this earth? I've lost enough body parts internally that maybe I won't last that long. I don't know. I think my nickname should be Spare Parts because I just keep getting things removed. But I'm planning on 86, you know? I've got 43 years left. So what am I going to do to take that next step, to develop another area of my life? I don't think there's any room in the kingdom of God for retirement. People will say, I've done my time. I've heard people say that. And yeah, maybe you did your time in the children's ministry or the hospitality ministry or whatever, but now it's time to find something else. You don't get to retire from the kingdom of God. In fact, I think the day we die is the day we actually start working in the thing that we really meant to do. We're going to work in heaven, guys. Sorry. Hope you like it. I'm sorry. It's not going around. We're not naked babies shooting arrows and playing harps. There's work to do. All right, it's a lifelong journey, and it never stops. Here's the last one. Fully engaged person recognizes that everyone is called to make disciples. I changed that this week. A month ago, I had it be disciples. But everyone's called to make disciples. That means everybody needs somebody to disciple them, to help them grow. The moment of salvation is neither the beginning nor the end of a person's journey. So we need to walk along with people. People have a long journey before, they've got a long journey after. It's up to us to go and be with them on that journey, to disciple them and help them. Remembering everyone is on that journey helps you remember that you belong on the journey too, and you're with them. Helps you recognize that they're created in the image of God, and so are you. They deserve your love and respect because they're on a journey just like you. So why not help them along the way? So these five things, you can see them on your sheet in right below the first paragraph. I think I have them listed there. Do I have them on? I don't think I have them on there. Intentionally places themselves in a position where God can do transforming work. Will commit themselves to daily habits of devotion, rhythms of work, rest, regular gathering with other believers. Discovers and develops their gifts for service. Is on a lifelong journey of learning that inspires actions. And recognizes that everyone is called to make disciples. Those things are what people who are growing vigorously will do. But we have ways to do that through the church. And on that sheet, this is why, if you got one there, look at one of those sheets. These are all the ways that we have through Engage Newark that are right here ready for you to go, that you can start doing these things on your own and with groups. Now, just a word. These sheets, you're going to see another batch of sheets. We'll have one that looks similar to it from last week's stuff, this week's stuff, and next week's stuff, like this whole packet. And next week, you can take that packet home along with a commitment card of sorts that will help you think thoughtfully about, what do I want to commit to? Am I ready to take a step of full engagement with Engage New York Church, to be in relationship with Engage and to work towards common goals and unity? So, and then on October the 5th, you can come back with those cards. We're going to have communion together. And here's the thing. There is no pressure for any of it. These are just opportunities for you. We'd love for everybody to sign up and say, yes, I want to do these things. And then you can a la carte pick the things that you're committing to do. But it doesn't change if you choose to do nothing. We want you to be fully engaged, but you're already a member. You already belong. Is that clear? All right. And you can still take communion on October the 5th, even if you don't have something to hand in. That is okay. All right, so individually we can do things on our own. We encourage these habits and disciplines like daily devotions. I highly recommend the Bible Project. It's really good. A text should go out or has gone out with some instructions for different things. Also, some links that you could type in or whatever. Sean has been writing daily devotions that he texts out. We can get that stuff to you. I have a friend who has an app with daily devotions. So far, Sean's got a little bit of content on there. We might put more of it on there. So there's ways that you can get devotions in the palm of your hand. So if you're tempted to scroll through things that you hadn't ought to scroll through that conform you to the image of the world, click over to another button and it will transform you or help you transform or put you in a position where God can transform you in the image of his son. Does that make sense? That's daily stuff. You do it on your own. We have online discipleship courses. You can text the word FLOW to 740-227-4838 and a link will come back on information of how you do that. How to sign up for these courses that we have. You and I will interact together with online content that's already there. Now, micro groups is another thing that I think is probably the next wave of discipleship or small groups. Small groups have been the big thing for the last 20 years or so, about 8 to 12 people to get together. Maybe they go for a 6-week period or a 10 or 12-week period or years and years. But it's hard in our culture today to get 8 to 12 people to commit to the same time every week in perpetuity. We just can't. Our family can't. I want to start a small group. I can't find a night that's consistent for us, let alone for another 8 to 12 people. So microgroups are something we've been thinking through. People often will already have a friend that they're having lunch with. They sit together for lunch every single day anyway. Or they go visit for coffee every Saturday anyway. So these relationships that have already been developed, you're already meeting these folks two or three people that are gathering together. Our suggestion is for microgroups to do it intentionally. Have that coffee with that person, but maybe discuss the things that you've been working through in your individual program, or maybe ask various questions that you might have from a particular thing. I've got some listed. I have some for you if you want to sign up for it if they're not listed there. So microgroups, I think, are a way that you can continue to be in relationship with people and intentionally grow your relationship with Christ, put yourself in a position where you're being transformed. Small groups, we have a few small groups that are going. I'd like to start a couple more. One of the books that we'll introduce in October is The Ninefold Pattern of Jesus, is going through the Beatitudes. If you are interested in Sean's, talk to Sean. Sean, wave your hand real quick, because his is a hit and miss. It's a micro group right now, basically, but they would like it to be a small group. They meet every Monday at 9 at the TJ's. But since there's only two, some weeks they just go, well, I can't make it today or whatever. So text Sean or find out. So we have those small groups for you going. And then large groups, here's two things we're going to introduce new. And I'm putting it for you now because I need to know if you're interested. This one is, I'm calling it just the pastor's class, and it will be like a classroom setting. It's not going to be like small group where there's a whole lot of, like, how you're doing in your life. This is theological in nature. This is background work. And the first one that I want to go through is about Jesus. It's Christology. I'd like to go through a lot of these ology classes to give us some information about our theology as believers, as Christians. This is what we believe. okay? This is who Jesus is, how he functioned in the Bible, types and shadows throughout the Bible, and how we see Jesus portrayed today. So that's what that one will go through. But if I don't have five people sign up, I'm probably not going to do it. So I would like to know your interest in this. So when it comes time for that interest card, the commitment card, let me know. Here's another one. This Kingdom Dreams Initiatives. I want to start a dream factory, unlocking your potential to make things happen in the body of Christ. You probably have some dreams. Maybe dreams that you had when you were a little kid. Things like, man, I just want to do this. Well, we can discover if that's still possible for you to do that thing now. I've been burdened by this lately because I have employed, both paid and non-paid, a lot of people to make a dream that I had reality. Little Arrows Play Cafe, that was a dream. Now, there was a bunch of us that came together that really bought into the vision. But honestly, if it wasn't for me, it wouldn't have happened. So I feel like, man, I've made people get on board for my dream to happen. Same with Engage Newark. A lot of people worked really hard, made my dream happen. And I don't feel guilty about it, but now I think I should switch it. How can I help you make your dream happen? Let's do it together. What dreams do you have? And I'm learning a process that we can go through together and unlock your kingdom dreams. And man, I just think if we did that, this whole city would be turned upside down. If we start unlocking the way you were created to build things for the kingdom, we'll turn our city upside down. So those are the ways that we have at Engage Newark Church to help you be in a position where you can grow vigorously. Next week we're going to talk about serving diligently. We'll have a list of ways that you can do that through the church. I hope that something will spark your interest and you'll be like, that's what I'm created to do. But otherwise, let's discover together what you were created to do if you're not quite living in it just yet. We want you to be fully engaged, loving recklessly, giving generously, growing vigorously, and serving diligently. Let's pray. God, as we depart from this place, we ask that our time in the Spirit wouldn't end, but that it would empower us as we go to work, go to school this week, encounter people we don't like, encounter people we do like. As we navigate the world that has a lot of problems, help us not to get sucked in by their issues, but help us to, from a kingdom mindset, be able to see how maybe we can help people and then grow into it. Lord, as we each go through life, may you help us to cultivate the soil that we're planted in and maybe fertilize it a little bit and give us water so that we can grow, that you can do some transforming work inside of us. And help us to have some discipline to put down the things that are conforming us to the image of the world and be able to just dial into the things that are transforming us like you. God, be with us as your people as we leave here today. May we say that, yes, we're your people, but you are our God, and nobody else, nothing else is going to get in the way of that. God, be with us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.